All right, let's look at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. I want to begin reading in verse 25. And the message title is just "Come unto Me." And it's amazing to see that if you go and talk to people and invite them to come to Christ, and many of them will respond, especially when you go overseas and you're able to share Christ with people, they'll come to faith in Christ. But Jesus here is encouraging his disciples, and he challenges them to come to him. And we're going to look at the experience that they have out of Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. "And at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be together tonight. Lord, we appreciate the reports that help us to see how people respond to the message of Christ, the gospel of Christ in the other countries. Lord, we're thankful, Lord, that you can open doors and you can impress on our hearts, Lord, the opportunities to share our faith, not just here in our hometown, Lord, in our neighborhoods, Lord, but around the world. I'm thankful, Lord, that the message that is offered to each and every person from Jesus is "Come unto me." And I'm thankful, Lord, that you still have that invitation given, Lord. And I pray that we might take that message of hope and share it with whoever it is that we come in contact with. And so, Lord, I pray you speak to us tonight as we consider these thoughts in a few moments. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text verse is verse 28. I love this verse. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And, you know, in the passage here, in the chapter, Jesus had warned of the consequences of rejecting him. Back in verse 21 and 22, he gives a stern warning of the reality of the recompense that they would receive if they would reject who he is. Christ came and he offered himself as a sacrifice on Calvary that we might be saved. He is the Son of God who came into this world because God loves man. And he gives them warnings about the chastisement and the judgment of God coming upon them. But then he turns around and offers an opportunity for them to have freedom from sin and bondage and from the fear of wrath, the wrath of God, in giving them this invitation to come unto me. God is always in the business of seeking after men. And I think sometimes we can forget that. We can get so caught up with the busyness of life and busyness of ministry and forget that really God is always about reaching out to bring men and women and boys and girls unto himself. And so God is in the business of seeking after men. Many that are in their sinful condition, many people who are lost, they do not know Christ as their Savior. They need to repent. And they need to come into God's mercy. You and I both can testify tonight that when we got saved, we got saved because we heard the gospel message. And God sent his Holy Spirit upon us and convicted us about our sin and the need for to call on Christ and to come to Christ that we might be forgiven of all of our sin. Now, if God could save us like that, he can save others also like that. It will just give them the opportunity to come to the Lord. And so Jesus, as you read through here, we see a sense of the presentation of Christ, that God is always calling men to repentance. The Lord Jesus Christ is always interceding for men to repent. And the Holy Spirit of God is always convicting or wooing men to come to a spirit of repentance. And so the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are involved in bringing us to a place of salvation and deliverance completely over all of our sins. So the message is simply, come unto me. So first of all, I want us to think about in verse 28, we're going to look at verse 28, 29, and 30. It's just verse 28 is the invitation. Over the years, I've had people get upset and say, well, you always give invitations. I don't know why you always give an invitation. I had one guy literally said, I don't see any invitations in the Bible. And I thought, what Bible are you reading? Everywhere you look, there's constantly an invitation of God inviting men to come to him. And so there's the invitation to come unto me. And this matter of coming unto the Lord is just simply crying out to God. Acknowledging the fact that you need the Lord and you need God to respond to you. In Jeremiah chapter 33, in verse 3, Jeremiah helps us to understand the need to cry out to God. God says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And certainly when a person gets saved, when they respond to the invitation of God, they don't understand everything that they're doing. When I called on the Lord and asked God to save me, I'll tell you, at that very moment, I did not understand what it is that God was going to do with my life. And all I knew is that I wasn't sure that I was going to heaven. I certainly was not enthusiastic about dying and going to hell. And I cried out to God. When I cried out to God, I did not understand everything that it involved, but I did understand if I cried out to him, he would hear me and he would answer me. And God can hear your prayers and God can hear the prayers of others who will cry out to God when the invitation is given. Isaiah 55 in verse 1 says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. And so the invitation that Jesus gives in Matthew 11 reminds us of the necessity to cry out to God and call upon his name, and he'll save us and deliver us. You say, well, I'm saved tonight. Then rejoice in the time when you did call on the Lord. You say, well, I am saved. Remember this, you still can call on the Lord. He still invites us to come unto him. He says, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And so God wants us to call out to him. Not only do we cry out to God, but we come to the Messiah. We realize who it is that we are coming to. And, you know, the world lives in this, I don't know, illusion that everything's going to be okay. And the reality is they don't even know who God is or know what it is that they need to do in order to be right with God. But certainly we know that Jesus is the Messiah, and we come to him in reference to his person of who he is. When Jesus was on this earth, he would call his disciples to him. And in John chapter 1 and verse 45, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip ran unto him, come and see. And boy, I'll tell you, a good invitation we have to people is just tell them, come and see. And people say, well, I don't understand how to be saved. I don't know who Jesus Christ is. I don't know anything about God. Well, won't you just come and see the person of Jesus Christ. In verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith unto him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. See, if you'll respond to the invitation that God has for us to come unto him, we can come to him in reality of who he is. We worship Jesus Christ and him alone. And because of that, we know that we're living and abiding in reference to a relationship with the true and living God. So we come to the Messiah in reference to his person. We come to him in his resurrection. We know in Matthew chapter 28, after Jesus was crucified and he was buried, when they came to the tomb, the angels to proclaim, he's not here, he is risen, as he said. And so the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it is so important for us to remind ourselves, the invitation that God gives to us is not to a dead God, but a living God. And it is so important to remind ourselves of that and impress that on others, that the invitation has come to the Savior who died, was buried, and he rose again. And because of the fact, there is no other God that can save them other than the living Christ. And then, of course, I think we have to come to him in reference to his judgment. He is the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. He is the one, the Lamb, who can open up the seven sealed book of the judgments and wrath of God in Revelation. In Revelation chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, I saw the Lamb open one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And so the judgment of God, with the invitation of Jesus Christ to come unto me, is in reference to who he is and what he accomplished in rising out of the grave and the reality that he is the eternal judge of all this earth. And he invites us to come to him that we might be able to have peace and we might have to rest from the labors of our life. And so we come to the Messiah. So we cry out to God. We come to the Messiah. We have comfort for all eternity, because of the fact of the invitation to come unto me. You know, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, speaks of the resurrection and certainly speaks about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The amazing thing I love about the passage is it ends with, wherefore comfort one another with these words. And the comfort is the fact that Jesus is coming again and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And when they are resurrected out of the grave, we'll be reunited with our loved ones in heaven and will ever be with the Lord. That's the comfort of eternity, is that God has promised that Jesus would come. And when he comes, he would rapture us out of this world or resurrect us out of the grave, and we'll be present with one another in heaven. And so it's a comfort to come to the Lord. People, I don't really know how people can live. My wife and I was talking about this as we went to my uncle's funeral yesterday, and just sitting there looking at people have no confidence and no assurance that they're going to heaven. There's not even a clear message or presentation given that the Lord has an invitation for you to come, and you can have comfort and you can have peace and have assurance that wait a minute, you're going to live forever in heaven together because of the fact that Jesus gives the invitation to come. And if the invitation was never given, we'd never have that comfort. If the invitation was never experienced, we will never be assured of the fact that God is real and he is personally involved in our life each and every moment of every day. So let's not forget the invitation to come, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But there's also the education in this chapter in verse 29. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And then he says this, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. The education, learn of me. You know, Paul said to the Ephesian believers, ye have not so learned Christ. It is so important for us to learn about Jesus Christ and understand exactly who he is. It is not a difficult thing. It's not a burdensome thing to take the yoke of Christ upon us. And it is a blessed thing to know of all that we experience in reference to who Christ is and what he does in our life. I thought about in his glory. In Matthew 17, we read about the Peter, James, and John being taken up on the Mount of Transfiguration. And the Bible says that Jesus was transfigured in front of them and they beheld the glory of God. And I think sometimes our Christian life becomes mundane and burdensome, and we become disconnected with the reality of who God is because we are not learning about the glory of Christ. I mean, everything about Jesus is glorious. I mean, whether it's his life, whether it's his death, whether it's his resurrection, whether it's his healing power, whether it's his promise to continually be with us all the time. It's amazing to me to think of the glory of God. You know, the glory of heaven is going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, you need to come unto me. But listen, you go beyond just coming to me. You take my yoke upon you and you learn of me. The Christian life is about Jesus Christ. It's not about anything else. And when your walk with Christ is right, everything else is right. So we need to learn about the glory of God. We think of Jesus in his service in John chapter 13. Jesus came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Jesus has given us an example that we are to serve one another as he gave us an example to follow as he would wash the feet of the disciples. And Jesus Christ, everything about his life was to surrender his life as a servant, as a minister to others. And so when we understand the glory of God, we understand the service of God, it puts things in perspective about what our life is to be for God. And so need to learn how to serve one another. We see him in his love in John chapter 15. And greater love has no man than a man should lay down his life for his friends. And we see the love of God manifested because of the fact of all that Christ is in offering himself as a sacrifice on Calvary. And we can comprehend the love of God really that is so deep and so amazing and so merciful and so gracious, it cannot be comprehended apart from who Jesus Christ is. So he says, you need to learn of me. We see Christ in his example. I know it's amazing that Christ always, whatever he commanded of us to do, he always gave us an example to follow. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21 says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. And so when we learn of Christ, we learn how we're supposed to live, what direction we're supposed to go in. We're supposed to follow the example he gave. Verse 22 says, who did no sin. You say, well, do I have to live a holy life? Oh, yes. Why? Because you're learning of Christ and you see how he lived his life and he gave us an example to follow. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. So we see the very example of Christ that he laid out for us. All you have to do is just follow my example. If you love me, keep my commandments. But wait a minute, my commandments are not grievous because I've already showed you how you're to live. Just follow in my example. So you learn about Christ and all that he is and how that he has worked on our behalf. Then I see the education as far as his rest. You know, God has come to give us rest in Hebrews chapter 4. And we enter into this rest of God through faith in Jesus Christ. In John, Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 3, it says, for we which have believed do enter into rest, as he saith, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all of his works. God gave an example of resting after his works, and he has provided for us the way to enter into his rest. Notice in verse 8 of Hebrews chapter 4, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And so we have the rest of God. It is through Christ that we have peace. It is through Christ that we have a settled, stable life of assurance because of the fact we've entered into his rest. We've ceased from our labors. Man likes to try to labor and work his way to heaven. No, we cease from that and rest in the works of Christ that he provided on Calvary. So he says, come unto me. That's the invitation. He says, learn of me. That's the education. And then in verse 30, I see the expectation. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so the amazing thing is we expect that God has offered a way for us to be saved and a life as a believer that is not burdensome upon us. The expectation is that the yoke is easy and the burden is light. First of all, I think of the salvation is so easy. Acts chapter 15, a great church council. The first church council held in church history was about whether the fact, are we saved through circumcision or are we saved by the grace of God through faith? And the determination was that we are saved by grace through faith. We cannot place a yoke or a burden on those that have not trusted Christ that we can't even deal with. We can't carry. And so the salvation of God is easy because it's through faith and faith alone. But not only is salvation easy, but sanctification is liberty. In Galatians 5:1, it says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has set you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And the sanctification of God is the reality that God sets us free from bondage. And our expectation is not only that salvation is easy because we just have to believe to the saving of our soul, but sanctification is liberating. God has separated us unto himself. He has given us the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And because we've received the righteousness of Christ, we can live out the Christian life in a holy manner. So sanctification is liberty. But Christ is our sufficiency. That's the expectation. In other words, you don't need anything else to live the Christian life. It's Jesus and Jesus only. And he is our sufficiency. Whatever the trial, whatever the difficulty is, we can face it and go through it because Jesus is enough. Amen. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He is my sufficiency. And I was afraid that oftentimes I've watched over the years that after someone's been saved for a while, all of a sudden they think they need something else. They think that the Christian life is something different. And the reality is you have faith to believe that saves your soul. Because your faith in Christ, you're sanctified holy unto God. And from that moment on, you understand that everything that is necessary in your life is fulfilled based on the relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. And so Christ is our sufficiency. And then I thought the expectation is this, that life is for eternity. It's just not temporary. And you might live 80 years, 90 years, 100 years. I don't know how many years you may live on this earth, but that's not anything in light of eternal time. But life is eternal. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though you are dead, yet shall he live. And so life is eternal. And I think we have to recognize that and remind ourselves that life is more than just here living on this earth. It begins with an invitation, come unto me. And I'm thankful tonight that we have a Savior who loves us so much that not only would he invite us to himself, but he would reveal to us and educate us and help us to understand what life is about and who he is. And beyond that, he would fill our hearts with a hope and an expectation that life is more than just trying to drudge our way through this world. Life is eternal in the heavens in the presence of our Savior. So no wonder Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." If you're in turmoil tonight, you need to find rest in Jesus Christ. If you're laboring tonight and you're overwhelmed with burdens, you need to find victory in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Because everything about the Christian life, everything that we are, revolves around who Jesus is and what he has done for us. Come unto me. It's as simple as that. Just come unto the Lord. You know, it's amazing. We get saved. We understand that we need to call on the Lord. We'll come to faith in Christ. But then after we've been saved a while, we struggle with so many different things, but we won't come to the Lord. We won't come to God about it. Listen, there's something you're dealing with tonight, something you're trying to overcome. You need to come and kneel on the altar and say, "God, I'm coming to you. Will you hear me? Lift this burden and show me what it is you want me to do. Show me how you could work in my life." I'll guarantee you, when we come to him, he will not cast us away. He will not turn his back on us, because he's the one that invites us to come unto him. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be together tonight. I'm thankful for the invitation that you give us, Lord, to come to you. I'm thankful that we can have faith. Thankful, Lord, that we can have peace. I'm thankful, Lord, we can experience grace. We can experience mercy. I'm thankful, Lord, that we can be strengthened in our walk with God. I'm thankful, Lord, that because of who you are, God, there is an abundance of resources, an abundance of opportunities, Lord, to live a glorious life in our walk with our God. And so I pray that you bless us tonight. If there is someone here not saved, Lord, touch them, that they might come and receive Christ as their Savior. We love you, Lord. We appreciate the will and the way of God in our life. And so continue to move upon us, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.